Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan. Tonight, we celebrate the first recorded martyr of the British Isles, the first recorded native British saint, and our patron of this community, St. Alban. I'm going to give two big reasons why we chose St. Alban to be our patron, or rather, why we asked for the patronage of St. Alban, placed ourselves under his patronage. But first, let's cover the basics, sort of refresh ourselves with the story, the life of St. Alban. He was a Romano-British pagan living in the city of Verulamium sometime during the 3rd or 4th century. There is some discrepancy about the dating of Alban, but he was very early. And this was during a purge of Christians this is why the dating controversy is unsettled, because there were several Roman emperors who instituted empire-wide persecutions of Christians. So it was during one of these in the 3rd or 4th century that St. Alban shielded a Christian priest who was traditionally known as Amphibolus in his home as he was fleeing from Roman soldiers. Alban was so impressed by the priest's piety while he was sheltering him that he converted to Christianity. But when the Romans realized that the priest's whereabouts were at Alban's home, they came to seize him. Alban, hearing about this, disguised himself in the cloak of the priest and offered himself to the soldier, allowing the priest to escape. Alban was then taken away to the pagan temple at Verulamium and presented to the judge. This magistrate, this judge, was furious when he discovered that Alban, a native pagan, had taken the place of this priest, and demanded that Alban renounce Christianity and offer sacrifices to the gods. It was then that Alban spoke the words quoted in the prayer still used at St. Alban's Abbey, "I worship and adore the true and living God who created all things." Alban was then scourged and sentenced to death. On his way to his execution, Alban had to cross the river Ver, but it was clogged. The bridge was clogged with a mob of townspeople who wanted to watch the execution. They'd all come out to see this. Alban is said to have prayed for a quick death, and the river subsequently dried up, allowing Alban and his captors to cross on dry land. When Alban's executioner witnessed this miracle, he fell to his knees and prayed that he should suffer with Alban or be executed. Both the soldier and Alban then were beheaded, but as Alban's head fell to the ground, so did the eyes of the second executioner who killed Alban. The judge who witnessed these events was so moved that he ended the persecution of Christians and began to honor the saint. The place of St. Alban's death is where St. Alban's Cathedral now stands in England. The site of Alban's martyrdom soon grew popular among the locals and among the English in general, and in 429, Bishop Germanus of Auxerre from the continent visited England and visited the shrine of St. Alban and reportedly took away relics of the earth, which was still bloodied. So St. Alban is a significant saint in the British Isles and especially in England for his faithful resolve, for his sanctity evidenced by his wonder-working prayers, and in his pioneering of the mantle of martyrdom. He was the first martyr, so he was an ancient saint early in the life of the church, especially in Britain. So why is he significant to us? This is the first major reason that he is our patron, because he represents the Orthodox English spirit of our parish. Our identity is one of English spirituality. Our liturgical heritage is an amalgam of centuries of English Catholic art, ritual, music. But our faith is that of the early undivided church, still held faithfully in the Orthodox Church. So that makes us unique both among others worshiping in the English Catholic heritage and also among those holding the Orthodox faith, which of course is primarily exercised in an Eastern tradition. But Albin, being both English and Orthodox, understands us as we ask his intercessions and his gracious patronage. So he is our patron because he is English and Orthodox, representing our situation well among both the Orthodox and the heterodox Anglicans and Episcopalians. But he's our patron also for a related but much more significant and important reason. Because he represents, exemplifies what we should be like, not just among other Christians, but among the world. Though we know nothing about the former life of Albin, only what we do know from this brief account of his conversion and martyrdom fills our minds with high standards and good examples for us in this world. Firstly, we hear that he gave shelter to a stranger. The fact that the priest was of no kinship or even friendship with him didn't deter him from providing him protection from harm. We don't necessarily always have to be looking for people to go out of our way to help, but if we're presented with an opportunity, we will both honor St. Albin and the Lord Jesus, his master, if we do give aid in that situation. Albin listened to and learned from the priest he was harboring, being impressed by his piety, devotion, and teaching. In other words, he wasn't closed off, but was willing to hear and to change himself and his beliefs according to what he perceived to be true. If we're too sure in our own ways, opinions, education level, or our knowledge to be ready to learn from everyone we encounter, then we have a pride problem. We can always stand to learn from others, whether it be from their actions or their teachings. Of course, we ought to stand firm in our faith and what we know and hold to be true, but that doesn't mean we shut off our reason for the sake of blindly holding dogmas. If Albin had, if he had blindly held to his pagan dogmas in the face of reason, his eyes wouldn't have been open to the brighter light of Christ. Our eyes are always in need of being opened wider to the light of Christ. Albin's faith was so great and so immediate that when he had the opportunity to prove his immediate and great faith through self-sacrifice, he willingly did it. He gave himself up in the place of the priest when the soldiers came looking for him. Now again, we don't have to go looking for someone to swap places with in a bad situation, but if God brings us to that sort of a crossroads, our own Garden of Gethsemane moment, our place as followers of Christ is to offer ourselves on behalf of others. This sort of self-sacrifice is a seriously high calling, but it's one that each of us should be prepared to answer if we are indeed called to it. When Albin was taken before the magistrate and given the opportunity to sacrifice to the gods, renouncing his new faith, he refused, even knowing that death was certain. We don't have magistrates rounding us up and commanding us to sacrifice to the gods. But then, yeah, we almost kind of do. There are numerous courts at every level in this country challenging Christians on their faith in one way or another. The challenges may be framed in ambiguities, the legal and moral relationships may be a little nebulous, but behind so many of these court cases involving same-sex marriage or abortion or transsexual rights or other issues, the spirit behind these cases are exactly what this magistrate was asking Albin to do: renounce Christ and sacrifice to the gods. Outside the courts in everyday life, that challenge is there in so many places too. Movies, shows, cultural norms all around us prod us in the sweetest, smoothest, fluffiest, most innocent appearing ways to migrate to the edge of Christian freedom and then over the line. That line isn't always drawn with the thickest line by our tradition or our pastors, because it's always being challenged in new and changing ways. But the sin and the damage to our souls is the same as it has always been for time immemorial. False doctrines, sloth, lust, pride, these are the temptations that were presented in so many ways in our culture today. And so often what's the most dangerous and insidious about it is it's barely recognizable sometimes. Alban's miracle, finally, in his story of parting the waters was, of course, a demonstration of God's power, but it was God's power at the simple, faithful prayer of Alban. His example to us here isn't to try to work or even pray for miracles, but just to pray simply, faithfully. The power in that is greater than we almost always imagine, because God's power is limitless, regardless. But what pleases him most from us is faithfulness, and we're most likely to see the power of God's work in our simple faith. Simple, humble faithfulness. We hear in the story of Alban's martyrdom that, and this is depicted most artfully in a wonderful 13th century manuscript now housed at Trinity College in Dublin. I'll show you the picture later. That when the executioner swung the sword to behead the saint, his eyes popped out and fell to the ground, the executioner's. Again, for our lesson and benefit here, we should observe that those who persecute us for the sake of Christ are without vision. They are unable to see the light of Christ when they persecute us. That is, when they persecute Christ in us. But we also shouldn't be hasty in perceiving others as our enemies or persecutors, because the first man charged with executing St. Alban did recognize Christ in the saint and ended up throwing down his sword and choosing to be killed alongside of him. So St. Alban, just in this brief account of harboring a fleeing priest of the church, listening to him, recognizing the truth of Christ and converting, and then willingly giving himself up in place of the priest to death, has provided us with so many examples of how to live in this world, how to live in relation to God and to our neighbors being both those who listen and recognize Christ in us and those who persecute us, potentially even to death. That's why Alban is our patron, not just because he's the perfect English Orthodox saint for our English Orthodox parish, but because he is the perfect example of how to give ourselves over to Christ in all that we do. Listen to St. Alban's antiphon for the Magnificat tonight. This is indeed a martyr who for the name of Christ poured forth his blood, who feared not the threats of judges, nor sought for the glory of earthly dignity, but with joy attained unto the heavenly kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.